Gopher Gridiron Radio is brought to you by the Goal Line Club. The Goal Line Club is a booster club for Gopher football. And you know what, Ryan? It's only $100 to join, and you can be a member.
So as you're traveling here on this holiday weekend and you're thinking to yourself, what am I going to spend on Black Friday deals? Well, become an official Golden Gopher football booster, and all you got to do is go to goalineclub.org, click on memberships at the top of the page, and then click join now.
Welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to, I'm assuming you're listening to this as you're driving to or from a Thanksgiving type of event. And for all of you significant others who are listening to this thinking to yourself, boy, another Gopher football podcast. I'm sorry. I know my dulcet tones aren't exactly what they used to be, but we appreciate you as we keep you company on that drive to Grandma's house.
All right. So the question here is, do we fill them in on kind of the inside jokes and kind of the bits that we have because they're listening for the first time? Or do we just kind of roll with it and let their significant other, you know, explain to them?
Well, with peace and love, Luke, I don't think we should include them too much. They will figure it out as they go along here.
All right.
And if you are new to this, it is the Gophers versus the Badgers. The 7-4 Minnesota Golden Gophers will travel to Madison, Wisconsin, where they will take on the 6-5 Wisconsin Badgers. 2:30, I believe it's on ESPN. It is, and Luke and I were talking about this in the pre-production meeting, a very even contest. And I believe Vegas has this game as Wisconsin -3. So they think that maybe the home field gives the Badgers the edge. But I just, the more I have dug into this as we've continued to go along this week, and I don't know which way I'm going to choose here, and maybe I'll figure it out by the end of the episode, Luke, but sweet giblets and junipers, there is a lot to get into.
All right, I think what we have to get into first, Ryan, is as we talk about this game, we probably need to handicap it from an injury perspective. We're recording here on a Tuesday evening, so a lot can change here, and some of this might get a little bit stale, but for the sake of going forward, we probably should start and make those assumptions on who's going to play, who's not going to play. So maybe you can give us a quick roundup on Gophers that probably will or won't play. I'm going to operate under the assumption that Ethan is going to start and that Tanner will be sitting out.
I think that's a fair assumption. I've shared this on the Gopher Illustrated message boards, which we'll get to the Gopher Illustrated Black Friday deals, which, hey, you, the significant other listening to this podcast, if your significant other is listening to this, he's a diehard. You know what really he would really like for Christmas or Black Friday? 75% off, baby. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But on the Wisconsin side of things, I don't know that there's a ton of injuries other than Braylon Allen's banged up, which seemingly appears to be the case now on back-to-back Novembers, as the Big Ten is very physical league. But I know that he left last week's game, and we saw a lot more Ches Malusi, the other running back for Wisconsin. But I think the big news here for Wisconsin isn't an injury. It's an ejection.
Yeah,
and that's that the best pass rusher that the Badgers have, and Nick Herbig, someone I voted for as the preseason, I believe, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. You listen to that, Wisconsin fans? I voted, and I did something nice, because Nick Herbig is really good, and he's going to miss the first half of this game because he was ejected in the second half for targeting in their most recent game against Nebraska.
So I don't know if you paid attention in our Gopher Gridiron radio chat, but I saw that Wisconsin appealed this. I didn't even know that it was possible that you could appeal it. They lost the appeal, so he will have to sit out the first half of this game. He already sat out the second half of the last game. But I didn't even know that you could appeal that. Did you know that?
I did. It's just the hit rate on those appeals being overturned is very, very slim because, again, live on the field, they're going to go look back. They got the replay official. They got New York looking at it. And they'd like to think that they probably get it right 9 out of 10 times. Now, I still don't know what targeting is. I know what the letter of the law says, but the interpretation of that is a lot of gray there. So that's the big news on the Wisconsin side, is they will not have their best, arguably, defensive player, certainly their best pass rusher, and Nick Herbig off the edge there for the first half. Braylon Allen, their stud running back, he is banged up. And then on the Minnesota side of things, I don't know that we're going to, you know, it's sad for me because Tanner Morgan is one of the nicest kids that have worn a Gopher uniform in my 12 years now on the beat. And he hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. So that's a scary deal. Yeah, I talked about that on GI a little bit. So I do not expect to see him. It will be the Greek Rifle. Ethan Callie Akmanis, very, very likely taking those snaps once again. But then we're going to have to see. We asked PJ Fleck on Monday, any injury updates? And he said, nope, and smiled at us. So that's what you get when you talk to the head coach about injuries. But we're going to have to see if Braylon Oliver, Minnesota's starting Sam linebacker, who left the game after the fourth down play that involved Spencer Petras. He didn't return. We saw Lucas Finnessy, the number three rush end for Minnesota, who was replacing the number two rush end for Minnesota and Danny Strigow. He did not return after getting carted off. So Minnesota's got some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Doesn't look like Tanner Morgan is going to be able to give it a go in potentially his final regular season game. So it's going to be Ethan, and it's going to be how many carries can Muhammad Ibrahim get to potentially break some more single season and career rushing records.
All right, so let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. On the year, the Gophers are averaging 28.7 points per game, 403 yards of total offense, 173 or 174 of those through the air, and 229 of those on the ground. Conversely, Wisconsin is giving up 20.3 points per game. They're giving up 295 yards of total offense, 191 through the air, and 103 on the ground, Ryan. So we know that this Wisconsin defense, as the season has been going, has been trending definitely in the right direction. They've been playing a lot better as the season has been going on and after they fired Paul Christ and Jim Leonard took over. So I expect this Wisconsin defense to play well. They will be somewhat handicapped there in the first half, as you already noted, noting that Herbig will not be playing, at least for the one half. Right? And so I'm just curious to see. I think we know what the identity of this Gopher offense is. I think it comes down to kind of minute details. And what do you expect for this Gopher offense to do outside of, you know, rush Mo Ibrahim into the ground?
Well, I'm still talking to our Wisconsin 24/7 folks. I'm trying to get a pulse because I know what the stats tell me. I know what Pro Football Focus tells me. And I'll tell you that Wisconsin's defense is on a heater right now. They have not allowed more than 180 total yards in any game in November. Now, they did face the Iowa offense, but I would say Maryland and Nebraska are pretty average offenses in the Big Ten. And since their bye week, which was after that Purdue win, they have come back, and Jim Leonard has this thing humming defensively right now. Like I said, they have not allowed over 100 and I believe 80 total yards of offense to an opposing offense in their last three games. So Minnesota's going to have their work cut out for them. Now, it's going to start and it's going to end with Mo. I think everybody listening to that knows that. I mean, there's a reason that he is a semifinalist for the Doak Walker Award, which goes to the best running back in the country. He's got over 1,500 yards. He's got 19 touchdowns, and I'll touch on this again later, but he needs 103 rushing yards against Wisconsin to break David Cobb's 2014 single-season record, and he needs 128 rushing yards to break Darrell Thompson's career record of 4,654.
And we should point out that a PJ Fleck-led staff likes records, so you definitely know that they're going to try to help him get that, really, probably no matter what the game situation is. But it falls in line with their game plans as of late as well.
Well, let me tell you, nobody likes to take a good old stroll down Narrative Street more than myself. And we have seen in bowl games the last few years that Fleck has come out and said afterwards, we knew what the records were going to need to be broken. We knew what they needed to be in terms of what we needed to get them for stats. Now, Minnesota's just not going to run the ball into a brick wall because they have a really good rushing offense. You saw that last week against one of the best Kirk Ferentz defenses in Iowa in his Iowa tenure. But it's going to be, can they get anything in the passing game? Because let me tell you, the story is going to be about these defenses where Minnesota's a top 10 defense. Wisconsin is on a heater, like I said, throughout the entire season. They're probably a top 20, top 25 defense. But in these last three games specifically, they are a top 10 defense. Both of these passing games for Minnesota and Wisconsin are hot trash. They have thrown for, in three games combined in November, these are three games, 12 quarters, people. Neither passing offense has thrown for over 340 yards. That's horrible. So it comes down to which offense, specifically which passing offense, do you think can get it done? Because it's going to be about explosive plays. That's the one thing I took away from last year's Minnesota victory over Wisconsin at Huntington Bank Stadium was, why did Minnesota win the game? Turnovers were even. I'd say missed tackles were even, but it was the explosive plays. Wisconsin did not have an explosive play over 20 yards. Minnesota had five. That's why they won the football game. So it comes down to explosive plays. And let me tell you, when we get into the stats later, the explosive passing plays for Minnesota since the bye have not been kind.
All right. So just to highlight for people, you know, new to the podcast, and, you know, they're just getting into Gopher football for the end of the season. You know, Ethan Kaliak-Manis, obviously probably the best arm talent the Gophers have seen in quite some time. He is a redshirt freshman, but additionally there, you know, there are some decent targets for the Gophers, but they're not particularly deep. You know, they're going to target Brevin Spanford, or they should be targeting Brevin Spanford more. They additionally will target Daniel Jackson as well. Lameki Brockington is getting to see some targets as well. But, you know, you're going to have to see some plays made by those guys against a really good Wisconsin defense that has a better than average secondary and a really good pass rush, Ryan.
Yes, like I said, it just, to me, I mean, we'll get into it on Minnesota's defense versus the Wisconsin offense, but I think Minnesota's running offense is better than Wisconsin's, but I think Wisconsin's ability to generate pressure defensively on the quarterback is better. It just comes down to which team do you think, in a total that I believe is 36 points, so it's another very low total, which one of them, after a week ago, we saw Minnesota struggle to generate explosive plays in the passing game, which one of their passing games has the ability to hit one?
Club brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, we talk about memberships all the time, but people often ask, you know, what is my membership going towards? You know, we often talk about in the cold months, you know, the jackets that recruits and stuff can wear when they come. But additionally, they do events like the Etiquette Night. This is something that the football program puts on, and it's really an interesting spin on that whole life program that PJ Fleck is pushing forward.
Correct. So the players bring their significant other, if they have one, maybe a friend, and they essentially have a date at, I believe, Huntington Bank Stadium. And then the coaching staff brings in people. They talk about it, how to be a gentleman, how to take care of a relationship, how to listen, like different things like that, where it's not all about football all the time. It's about if you're going to succeed out there in the real world, whether that's work or play and whether that's relationships or not. That's one of my favorite things that the Goal Line Club sponsors is that Etiquette Night, because in this day and age, I think it's incredibly important to learn something like that. So if you want to learn more, you want to sign up today, we mentioned it earlier, go to goalineclub.org, click on memberships at the top of the page, click join now.
Okay, let's talk a little about when the Gophers are on defense. On the season, Wisconsin is averaging 27.5 points per game. They are averaging 365 yards of total offense, 189 yards through the air, and 176 on the ground. Conversely, Minnesota is giving up 13.1 points per game, 274 of total offense, or sorry, total defense, 175 through the air and 102 on the ground, Ryan.
Minnesota's got a really good defense. I know that people are a little sour on it right now because Minnesota lost a football game.
They gave up 13 points in a Big Ten game. Like, okay, sure.
I know. I mean, I'll get into it a little later with my keys to the game, but it's just about starting slow. If there's going to be one thing you nitpick, it's not generating enough turnovers and it's starting slow. Now, I'll tell you later, their defense in the second and third quarter in Big Ten play this year has been, I mean, it's been outstanding. Like, I would imagine they're top three in the country in points given up in those quarters, but it's the whole starting slow thing. And that's where you look at the Wisconsin offense. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Ches Malusi, their 1B to Braylon Allen's 1A, returned last week after a month-long absence because of injury. He went 21 carries for 91 yards. Braylon Allen had some tough sledding last week, 18 for 92, tough sledding because that's only 5 yards a carry. And Braylon Allen, obviously a big body, has had a lot more success than that in games this season. But it comes down to, like I said, Graham Mertz in this passing game, if you look at statistically, they've been a little worse than Minnesota, which has been tough to do. Because when you look at it through the air in November games, which is a three-game sample size, considering that's 25% of the season, it's the most recent sample size, I think it's fair to look at. Graham Mertz in his last three games is completing 40% of his passes. He has more interceptions than touchdowns. And in those games, the Badgers in 12 quarters have thrown for 336 passing yards. Now, Minnesota's not any better. They have accumulated in the last three games total 326 passing yards in three games. So essentially, Luke, if my University of Minnesota education or my Tartan High education has taught me anything, when you're throwing for roughly 110 yards a game through the air, that's not good. So it comes down to this. Minnesota has, I believe, the number 10 rush defense in the country right now. They're averaging just over 100 yards a game against them. What is Wisconsin going to try and do? It's the same thing they've tried to do the last 20 years. You're going to see a lot of pulling. You're going to see a lot of big boys up front, and you're going to see 2-3 tight ends. Now, they have done a little bit more, drop back stuff than maybe that we saw last year from a Wisconsin offense. But it's going to be the same game plan for both teams. They want to run the football. They want to hide their quarterbacks. They want to hide their passing games. And it comes down to which team do you believe can stop the run? Which team do you believe can run the ball? Which team do you believe can hit a couple of shot plays through the air? I don't know, because, you know, as good as Minnesota's run defense has been, their pass defense overall, they're only allowing 172 yards per game. They're only allowing 13 points per game, which is the number three in all of 130 FBS teams. But it comes down to that whole starting fast thing. Because the first quarter is the quarter that Minnesota has allowed the most points in Big Ten play. So it comes down to Minnesota can't get down to another 7-0 lead, 10-3, 10-0. In a game like this where you're the underdog, you're going to have to come out and start hot defensively. And that means whatever the opening script is for the Wisconsin Badgers, Joe Rossi's defense has got to be more prepared and executing at a higher level than what we've seen here at points in Big Ten play.
All right, one thing I want to highlight that kind of stuck out to me that is uncharacteristic of Wisconsin offense is their echo rate is way down. They're 98th in the country this
year. What's an echo, Luke?
An echo is a measure of the quality possession or an opportunity creation. So basically, the rate of which your drives are actually like quality drives and giving you a chance to score points. And so they rank 98th in the country. The Gopher defense, though, is 11th in the country. They're very good at limiting, scoring opportunities. And that traditionally for Wisconsin is actually pretty good. So they're down significantly. Also, their expected points added in per pass is 119th in the country. That's something that we don't typically see nearly that low for Wisconsin year in and year out. Now, that said, if you compare and contrast Minnesota is not great in EPA per pass either, and Wisconsin's defense very good. Minnesota's echo rate has been pretty good offensively. I shouldn't say pretty good. They're very, very average at 51 in the country. But that's something to me, Ryan, that's important to point out is like, don't give Wisconsin the opportunity to create scoring chances. And also, they've not been very good on third and fourth down success rate. So, having to put them in third and long or fourth and long, like you were saying, make them throw the ball.
Do you know who has the number one third down defense in all of college football?
I think the Gophers.
With one game left?
I think still the Gophers.
It would still be the Gophers.
Yep.
So, yes, that's going to be the game plan, is stop the run on early downs. Yep. And then, unlike last week where you let up some explosives, you're going to have to get off the field like they've done all season on third down. Like, if you just can't allow explosive plays. That's why you won the football game against Wisconsin. Last year, you didn't allow any. Now, I think Joe Rossi historically has been pretty good against Wisconsin in his three previous trips in this game. So, it comes down to that, Luke. I mean, which team, which offense can get a little bit more going on Saturday?
Legacy Life and Law brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. They are helping our clients with the most important decisions in their life for the most important people in their lives at the most important times in their lives. So, for instance, if you are looking at estate planning, you're looking at maybe doing something in real estate, whether you're buying, selling, you know, residential or commercial real estate or business planning, reach out to Legacy Life and Law. They will absolutely be able to help you put together a plan for those really important moments in your life.
I want you to look around the room here at Thanksgiving as you got your AirPods in, or I want you to look around the minivan there and look at all those people you love. If something happens, you need to have something in place. I cannot stress that enough. Look around. You need to be an adult. You need to make sure that you're taken care of. So what you need to do is you need to put into your browser legacyinlifelaw.com/GGR and start to figure out that plan today.
Always, Ryan, Gopher Gridiron Radio is brought to us by GopherIllustrated.com. And most importantly, Ryan, this is the bread and butter for Ryan Burns. I know that Black Friday is coming. The deal's actually already here because you guys are so progressive. How can they save money as a Gopher Illustrated member?
Look, if you've been listening to me for a long time or if this is your first episode, you know I hate the shameless plug. I really don't plug GI a ton, even though I know it's the best place for you, whether you're a casual fan, a diehard fan, a season ticket holder, or you've been to one game. But here's my shameless plug for the year. This is our best sale. It's the Black Friday through Cyber Monday sale. It is 75% off a Gopher Illustrated annual subscription. That means it's a total of, I believe, around $25 for the entire year. That's a gift card that you give in the Secret Santa exchange or to a family member at Christmas. Now is the time to get in because, well, Ryan, what happens when I get off the promotional period? Well, guess what? Then you get Paramount Plus for free for the rest of your 24/7 subscription to Gopher Illustrated. And considering Paramount Plus has got a lot of great things on CBS on it, there's going to be Big Ten streaming on it starting in, I believe, 2024 as well. It's an added perk. Plus, you get to creep on any and all other 24/7 boards. Minnesota beats Wisconsin this weekend, and you want to go look at the Wisconsin board to see them rage? You're welcome. And with recruiting season just around the corner, again, National Signing Day is going to be on December the 21st, 75% off. By the time you're listening to this deal ends on Cyber Monday. Get in. It's for new members only. You'll go to GopherIllustrated.com. Go to my Twitter, Ryan Burns MN, and you'll see it pinned there. Come be a member today.
All right, let's get to the facts and figures for this game, Ryan. Probably starting with the betting lines real quick. Actually, let's get to the even more important details. This game is on November 26th on ESPN. If you aren't making the trip out to Madison, it is going to be at 2:30 Central Time. The Badgers come in 6-5 on the season. They are 4-4 in conference. The Gophers are 7-4 on the season. They are also 4-4 in conference. For this specific game, Ryan, the over-under is 36, and as I see it right now, Wisconsin is a 3.5-point favorite on the season. Wisconsin is 5-6 against the spread, where the Gophers are 6-5 against the spread. Man, it's just amazing how similar these teams are in terms of record, both in conference, out of conference, and against the spread. Additionally, if we're looking at the weather for Madison for this two,
it's warm.
Yeah, it's 2:30 start. It's going to be about 44 degrees at kickoff time. The feels like temperature will be more like 40 degrees. The sun should be setting about 4:27 p.m., so this game, again, will finish in the dark. And as it wraps up, the temperature will be probably more like 38 degrees with the feels like of probably about 35. Doesn't seem like wind is going to play a big factor. Should be hovering around 5-ish miles an hour, so shouldn't be a big factor. There's a very, very small chance of precipitation starting maybe around 5 p.m., but it probably won't rain. It's still under 25% chance. So I think all in all, this is a beautiful, beautiful day to play football in November in Madison. Should just be a wonderful day for football and shouldn't really hinder the gameplay in any way, shape, or form.
So low 40s, which will be 25 degrees warmer than it was last week.
Yeah, balmy.
It is going to be a balmy low 40 degree temperature. So for those of you who are thinking about making the trip to Madison, I don't think you're going to have to pack the extra pair of long johns, the extra pair of electric socks, the extra pair of hand warmers. It's going to be cold, but it's not going to be unbearable like it was last week.
Yeah. So, and take that into consideration as you're betting on this game as well, if that's something that you fancy. Again, the Gophers are a 3.5 point underdog on a 36 over under. I feel like that's pretty fair, Ryan.
So Vegas thinks this game will be something along the lines of 20-17 Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a pretty fair line. Wisconsin's been really good at home. They're pretty evenly matched squad. Neither are really going to, you know, blow it open offensively. So I feel like this is a pretty interesting game to bet if you really want to put some coin on it.
Yeah, I don't like. We'll get into my keys to the game here. You'll listen to my thought process, and you can make your own determinations for yourself. But I still don't know which way I want to go quite yet.
All right, so let's get to your keys to the game. I've locked in my pick. I'll give you a little bit of thought process right before that, but I'm not going to give the long full time beat writer perspective in terms of keys to the game.
All right, so my number one key to the game is Minnesota offensive coordinator Kirk Ciarrocca has got to scheme up some explosive passing plays. Because if you're listening to this, you likely know that Mohamed Ibrahim is one of the best running backs to ever wear a Gopher football uniform. He's got over 1,500 yards this season, 19 touchdowns. I mentioned it earlier. He's a semifinalist for the Doak Walker Award, which goes to the best running back in college football. And if you want to take a nice little stroll down Narrative Street, he needs 103 yards in this game to break David Cobb's single-season rushing record, and he needs 128 to break Darrell Thompson's career rushing record. Now, I would remind you that if and when he breaks that for Darrell Thompson, he will be doing it on, I believe, 5 less games than DT. My point here is this. The generational running back needs some help from his passing game, because part of the reason why Minnesota loses a game in which Mo has the game of his life for 263 rushing yards last week against one of the best run defenses in college football is they continue to get nothing from their passing attack. Now, I mentioned it a few times earlier here in the show, but one of the reasons why Minnesota was able to beat Wisconsin last season is they won the explosive play battle. The Badgers did not generate a single offensive play over 17 yards last season. Minnesota had 5 different ones of 20 or more yards. Explosive plays matter in games like this. Now, I don't have to tell you, the listener, the Gophers passing game has been absolutely dreadful at doing that specific thing all season, and that's generating chunk plays. So let's look at the 6-game sample size for Minnesota off their bye week in early October. Okay? In the 6 games since their bye week, the PJ Flex aerial assault has produced a total, grand total in their last 6 games of 7 passing plays of 20 or more yards. That's it. That's up on average about 1 per game. Now, trust me, it can get worse. How does it get worse, Ryan? Well, it looks even worse when you take out 2 of those plays as they were in complete garbage time against Penn State. So that would mean in the last 6 games of non-garbage time action for this Gopher passing offense, they have a total of 5 20-plus yard completions. That's incredible and not in a good way. So I know we all think it, but the passing game has been pulling teeth at times. You look at just the last, you know, the most 3 winnable games that Minnesota lost, the Illinois, the Purdue, and the Iowa games. 3 very winnable games. Minnesota's tied or leading in the second half of all 3 contests. Well, if you look at the passing offense in the second half of those 3 games, Minnesota is completing 40% of their passes for a grand total of 132 passing yards and 4 picks. That's not good. So in what's projected to be yet another close game, the passing offense has to figure it out. They did last year. They generated 5 explosives. Now they have a total of non-garbage time action of 5 in their last 6 games. So, Mo can't do it all. And this is a Wisconsin defense, I may add, that has only allowed 1 completion in the month of November of over 20 yards. It's going to be a lot easier said than done, but that's why they pay Kirk Ciarrocca the big bucks. Minnesota's passing game has got to show up if they're going to retain the axe. Now, secondly, Luke, the Joe Rossi defense has to stop starting the game slow, because if we're going to nitpick one thing, it's been slow starts in conference play. Iowa ripped off 10 first quarter points, as did Nebraska and Purdue, and then Illinois sliced and diced them on their opening drive as well. Now, Minnesota's defense, and I'm going to take out the Penn State game. Okay, Minnesota's defense in seven conference games, not named Penn State this season, has allowed 37 points in the first quarter, which is the highest total of any quarter of the four. Now, that's still really good. I'll remind you, that averages out to just over 7 points per game, but a game against Wisconsin isn't one where you want that trend to continue. Now, to give more context here, Luke, can you guess in those same seven conference games, so the non-Penn State game and then the seven Big Ten games that Minnesota has played in, how many points the Gopher defense has allowed total in the second and third quarter combined?
Can't be very many. I would go, it's seven games, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go under 10 per game, so I'm going to go 45.
Minnesota has allowed a total of 16 points combined in the second and third quarter.
Jeez.
They have been outstanding once they make adjustments. But this is a game where you can't let Wisconsin's opening script get early points. So I will continue to say this. In games where Minnesota has not won this season, they've struggled on the opening drive, and they've struggled to generate turnovers. You look at the four losses from Minnesota this season, their defense has generated a total of four turnovers in those four losses. Averaging one a game isn't going to help this 22 PJ Fleck team win football games. So Wisconsin's offense is the same as it's been. It's run first with good tailbacks and Braylon Allen and Ches Malusi in a passing game that wants to complement them by taking shots. I mentioned it, though. Graham Mertz and this passing offense have not been good in November. Mertz is completing 40% of his passes, and those have only gone for 336 total passing yards the entire month. Their passing game is as bad as Minnesota's is, and that's tough to do. Now, my final key to the game, for those of you who may be new, don't lose another close game because of special teams. Because when you want to play trestle ball like PJ Fleck does and like Iowa does, if you're going to be conservative on offense and you're going to struggle to generate explosive plays, you need to have a defense that's outstanding and a special teams to complement you. Well, I'd say the Gopher defense has held up their end of the bargain more or less, but I cannot say the same thing for Gopher special teams. I look at last week, Iowa killed them in field position. The Iowa punter averaged 42 yards per net punt. Minnesota averaged 31. That is a 11-yard shift in a very close game, and it's reflected in the starting field position from last week. Iowa, on average, started at their own 32-yard line. Minnesota, on average, started at their own 21. The punter, Torrey Taylor, for Iowa, had four punts inside the 15, including two inside the 5. And in comparison, Minnesota's punter, Mark Crawford, had zero punts inside the 20. Now, I feel for Matthew Trickett, who is the Gophers kicker. He's only missed two field goals all season, but sweet Moses of Mary, have they been absolute killers for Minnesota. He helped them significantly when he made a 47 and a 49-yarder against Nebraska. But missing a 28-yard field goal in that second quarter against Purdue killed them. And then last week, missing a 34-yarder with the win at your back proved to be massive. Now, the return game for Minnesota, I don't know if you can hear it. I'm rubbing my temples. I don't know what to think. I still don't. I just know when I see the punt returner lining up 60 yards from where a Big Ten punter is kicking the football, and then we all wonder why he never fields it, I don't know what to tell you. Now, Wisconsin's punting game is incredibly meh, so Redding's going to have chances. Now, the Badgers also don't have a ton of touchbacks on the season, and that's where on kickoffs they've only had, I believe, 54% of them have been resulted in a touchback. So one out of every two. So Redding's going to have a chance to make some plays. Now, here's my ask for this special teams unit for the final time here in the regular season, Luke. 5 years ago in this game, Demetrius Douglas turned this game on its head with a punt return touchdown. It was a catalyst for the Gophers winning their first time in Madison in a long time. Personally, that's too much to ask for a Rob Wenger special teams. I'm just honest. My ask for them isn't to change the game. It's to not lose the game like was part of the case last week.
All right, so I think this is the part of the show where we get into predictions. So some points that go into my prediction, Ryan, since Jim Leonard has taken over, they are 4-2 on the season. They are undefeated at home. They've only had two home games during his tenure. They've been against Purdue and Maryland. This is, you know, Purdue seemingly kind of was one of the teams that held a driver's seat in the Big Ten West, and they were able to upset them 35-24. And then without Tulia, Maryland lost 23-10. So
they had Tulia in that
game. Did they? Oh, okay. I guess my notes
were bad.
I'm
telling you, Wisconsin's defense is on a heater.
Yeah, they're on a heater because they've only given up, let's see, 10, 10, and 14 in the last three games. Purdue put up the biggest number.
You think to yourself, how did Iowa score 24 points against Wisconsin?
Yeah.
They had a pick six, they had a blocked punt, and they had a long punt return. That's how you give up 175 total yards to Iowa and lose by double digits.
Right. So in this game, you know, I think the difference, like you have said, is going to come down to explosive plays and who can make them. And I think that's a combination of I'm going to include, well, I guess turnovers as well. Like you got to win the turnover battle and the explosive plays. Like you said, we saw Minnesota do this last year. Justin Wally had a huge pick. Dalen Wright had a huge reception. They had a handful of really big plays. The Gophers are going to have to find some guys that haven't been as consistent this year, have explosive plays if they're going to win. But in the end, I am going to take the Badgers. I'm going to take them 17-16 in this ball game. So that would be a Minnesota cover, but an under on the over-under.
You're the worst.
Why?
You are the absolute worst for your score prediction. Because it's the same as mine. It's look, Luke explained it. We spent a lot of time on this podcast already. It's whatever. Which offense do you believe can generate more explosive plays? Minnesota's running offense is better, but I think Wisconsin's passing game is better. Wisconsin's ability to generate pressure is better than Minnesota's, but I think Minnesota's ability to stop the run is better than Wisconsin's. Both teams are going to sell out to stop the run. It's which passing game you actually trust to be able to attack down the field and generate an explosive play.
And special teams, yeah.
And I think it comes down to I don't have really any trust in the Gopher passing game to generate explosive plays. They haven't done it since the bye. I mentioned it in non-garbage time. The Gopher football passing game has a total of 5 explosive plays of 20 or more yards through the air in their last 6 games. That's horrendous.
But we say all this, Ryan, and we want to be wrong, of course.
Well, yeah. Again, you look at last year's game where Minnesota had 5 alone in that game. I want to be wrong. But with this game being in Madison, I'm going to give the Badgers the slight edge. Wisconsin 17, Minnesota 16. But I truly believe this game is as evenly matched as you can. I just think both teams, what they do well, kind of matches up pretty well against what the other team doesn't do great. Like, I just think it comes down to that explosive plays. And I really hope that if it is 17-16, it's not 16 for Minnesota because of an extra point.
And historically, I do want to point out that Wisconsin tends to get a couple of calls at home or a call at home that can be I'm not just going to say it's going to swing the game, but I do think that playing at home is an advantage. So
let me tell you, Luke, we just witnessed a football game last week that was
whistleless.
The first time since I think it was 1986 that Iowa-Minnesota game didn't have a single penalty in it. That's the first time in my lifetime because I want to make you feel old. I was born in 1992. I'm 30 years old.
That was before my lifetime as well, just putting that out there. So
trying to make everybody feel good as they've got all that turkey in their tummy.
Yeah, absolutely. In the end, I think this is a really close matchup. But crazier things have happened. I think I'll take Madison. You'll take Madison. But, man, I hope the Gophers win.
Well, the other thing I would note is this. If what our score prediction comes out to be true, Luke, that would be the first time in a Minnesota versus Wisconsin game since 1994 that the winning team has not scored 20 or more points.
Oh, interesting.
So we'll see. Again, if this game doesn't hit over 20 for one team, first time since 1994.
Records be broken. The Burns Insurance Agency brings you Gopher Gridiron Radio. Ryan, as we've been saying, now is the time to be thinking about changing your health insurance. You might have some changes in your life that make that possible. But while you're doing that, think about, hey, maybe we need to change, you know, coverage on our car, our home, auto, snowmobile, ATV, you know, whatever it is, Ryan, we got to make sure that we're taking a look. This is the time of year when you're thinking about changing your health insurance. Think about all the other things you're covering with insurance.
And that's where just this past week, a mom and pop came in with the Burns Insurance Agency located in downtown Oakdale, Minnesota, and they switched their home and auto to the Burns Insurance Agency, that independent insurance agent. They ended up getting better coverage and they saved $1,500 annually. Now, I don't know that they're going to be able to do that every time, but you know what I think you should do? You think you're paying too much for your home, your auto, your commercial, whatever it may be, shoot them an email at billandinsurancebyburns.com or insurancebyburns.com on your web browser. I'll remind you, if you don't live in the state of Minnesota, that's okay. He's also licensed in North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, New York, Florida, and Utah. And if he can save a mom and pop $1,500 by just switching their home and auto to you, or to him, I should say, you should probably check them out, insurancebyburns.com.
All right, let's take a look around the Big Ten, Ryan. This is rivalry week, right? This is the manufactured week that they call it rivalry week. So obviously Minnesota plays Wisconsin, Iowa plays Nebraska, Ohio State plays Michigan, you know, and on and on and on it goes. Do you have a favorite rivalry in the Big Ten outside of Minnesota and Wisconsin?
I would say the game, but it's just, I think it gets so much hubbub and everything now that it's
a little overblown.
It is, but you have two college football playoff contenders going against each other this weekend. When Michigan travels to Ohio State, the lowest ticket price to get into that game right now is $283. So there's a lot on the line there, because the winner definitely secures a spot more than likely in the college football playoff. The other one is going to have to play the game of how much SEC bias can we do to try and get LSU in there or USC? So,
all right.
That's a conversation for a whole nother podcast.
So, before we get into this other game, do you have a favorite rivalry game outside of the Big Ten? You know, I have one.
Why don't you tell everybody about your affinity for a coach that was just locked up today?
I do like Kalen DeBoer. I've been very happy with.
Who's Kalen DeBoer?
He is the head coach of the University of Washington until 2028, or until something else happens before that. I have been to the Apple Cup many a time. It is one of my favorite games between the University of Washington and Washington State. But what about you? Favorite rivalry game?
Outside the Big Ten?
Yeah.
I don't know that I have one. Again,
you don't like the Iron Bowl, or, you know.
No, I really just, again, I got to figure out who I'm voting for the Heisman yet, which, oh, yeah, oh, good for me. I vote for the Heisman Trophy. But it's like, I don't have a ton of, like, I just focus so much on Big Ten football. And, yes, I get to look around the rest of college football as a whole. But it's like, I don't get to spend a ton of time each week. Like, growing up, I wasn't a huge college football kid. And now that it's been my, I guess, career for the last 12 years, you know, you've gotten to learn a little bit more, but I just haven't had time to, like, plant flags as, like, another team that I actually enjoy watching.
All right. So let's look at the Big Ten real quick. Friday, November 25th, this is on Black Friday, Nebraska travels to Iowa. The over-under on this one is 38.5, Ryan. Iowa is a 10.5-point favorite. Iowa needs to secure this game to be the Big Ten champions in the West, where they'll go to Indy to take on either Michigan or Ohio State for back-to-back years. So in this one, I think it's safe to say that I would be really surprised if Nebraska pulls this off. Would I love it? Yes. I think it would be hilarious. I don't think it's likely, though.
I think the more important thing here to talk about is what will the line be if Iowa wins this game for the Big Ten championship? They lost 42-3 last year in Indianapolis to Michigan. They played both teams already earlier this year. Ohio State kicked the crap out of them by 40, 44, Michigan won by 13. What do you think the line would be if it's Ohio State versus Iowa again? I would set the line at like 30.
I was going to say 28, so probably around there.
Especially because their best tight end, Sam Laporta, who went out in the first quarter against the Gophers last week, is not going to play in this game against Nebraska. Not sure what that means if Iowa wins and goes to Indy again. But Vegas thinks this Nebraska-Iowa Black Friday game, something around 24 to 14, which if that's going to be the case, that means I think Caleb Johnson, the Iowa running back, is going to have over 100 yards.
Yeah, I'd like to see Iowa stick to the run a little bit, but that's not been, or sorry, Nebraska stick to the run a little bit. That's not something they've really stuck with. They've had early success in a few games, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. The game, 11 a.m. Fox, Michigan, Ohio State, over under 56. Ohio State is a 7.5 point favorite. I was actually a little surprised by this line, Ryan. I thought that it would be more like 10.
Especially with the Blake Corum news. So if you don't know who Blake Corum is, he is going to be on the first, second, or third team, all Big Ten running backs. It's going to be him, Mo Ibrahim, and Chase Brown from Illinois. Corum is a firm Heisman contender because this is an 11-0 Michigan team. He's the one driving that offense. It helps to have J.J. McCarthy back there. But Blake Corum got rolled up last week against Illinois. He's banged up. And if they don't have Blake Corum in this game, there is, especially with this game being at home for Ohio State, I mean, this is one where it's just, I have a tough time believing that Michigan can keep up with that Ohio State offense. Now, on the flip side, I don't know that we know that if Ohio State's going to get back Jackson Smith and Jigba, a couple of their running backs, they're a little bit banged up in their skill positions, but welcome to 4 and 5 stars and the best money can buy. You're going to be able to see it 11 a.m. on Fox.
Okay, another 11 a.m. game, Rutgers at Maryland, this one on BTN. Maryland is a 14-point favorite with the over-under of 49. So Maryland is already bowl eligible at 6-5. This would move them to 7-5, 4-5 in the Big Ten if they're able to pull this off. Rutgers doesn't have, I guess unless there's some sort of COVID-related thing and they win this game, I don't think it's likely that Rutgers is going to another bowl game this year like they were a substitute last year. In the end, Maryland, you know, as inconsistent as they've been, they're just the better team. Rutgers has found a little bit maybe with the new quarterback, but I don't see it happening. I think Maryland rolls in this one.
Well, you have Maryland who's lost 3 straight and Rutgers who's lost 4 straight. So somebody has to eventually win a football game here because neither of them have won a game in the month of November. And with Maryland at home here, I think Taulia, they found something a little bit last week against Ohio State where they put up a 30 ball, which was pretty impressive. And if that's the offense that comes to play at home, which it normally has in College Park, yeah, I can see this being something along the lines, I don't know, 31-17 type of game.
All right, so the 2:30 slate of games, this features Illinois against Northwestern. In this specific game, Ryan, Northwestern is looking to still get their first win on U.S. soil. They're trying to, basically.
That's my favorite stat of the year in the Big Ten, I think. Yeah. I love to say every time we talk about Northwestern that they have not won a game on American soil in now what is going to be like 399 days or something.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. This would be, I don't know, the first offer, and I don't know how long, but they're going to try to defend Ryan Field for one last gasp against an Illinois team coming in 7-4, 4-4 in the Big Ten. Their Big Ten West dreams are all but gone. They really had a tough one against Michigan. We talked about it a little bit.
Well, you just look at the whole month of November for Illinois. They were in the driver's seat. They just couldn't lose out. And what have they done? They dropped a game to Michigan State. They dropped a game to Purdue at home. Both of those games at home. Both of the games, opportunities to seal up the West, and then they don't do it, and then they play Michigan close, maybe get a little help from the Big Ten referees last week. But if you think you're angry as a Gopher fan for a missed opportunity at the West, I will raise you this. Illinois had this thing in the bag. All they had to do was win home games against Michigan State and Purdue. Didn't do it. And they couldn't do it. Yeah. And now they're going to be looking at more than likely on the inside. on the outside looking in, I should
They're going to be an interesting team to look at going into next season, because as we talked about, you know, they made a really nice transfer portal ad with DeVito. Chase Brown will be gone.
You know, and Witherspoon will be, I mean, they're going to be, that's where I just caution to say this. As someone who deals in college football recruiting every day of his life and has now done that for over a decade, especially in the day and age of the transfer portal, which the FCS portal opened up today, the FBS portal will open on December 5th. Like, it's going to be absolutely wild. And that's why I will say once again, 75% off for new members at Gopher Illustrated. Come see why I don't sleep. Like, if you thought I didn't sleep in October and November, 20 days of recruiting in December, which kill me, because I go from signing day, which again, woe is me, signing day on December 21st, and then I get married on the 31st. Let me tell you, once December 21st appears, and I am just going to finally take a giant exhale, but it's, the portal this year is going to be so incredibly interesting for every Big Ten West team, and that includes Minnesota.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and if you want to tangibly make a difference in portal recruiting, make sure that you become a Dinkytown Athletes member today. Support the work that Derek Burns is doing to help Gopher athletes, because, you know, having members is definitely a way you can move the needle. Okay, and then let's look at the other 2:30 game. Purdue plays host to Indiana. Indiana plays host to Purdue, actually. This is an over-under of 54. Purdue is a 10.5-point favorite. Again, Indiana has no hope of going to a bowl. And Purdue, I think, has a very slight chance to win the West here still.
They need Iowa to lose, and then if they do, they're going to have a shot. Yep. So it's going to be... What is this trophy called? I think it's the Oaken Bucket.
Yeah, I think it's the Oaken Bucket. I think you're right. I'll look it up quick.
But again, Purdue's a double-digit point favorite. Indiana finally got their first win in a long time last week when they beat Michigan State in double overtime thanks to special teams. So unless Aiden O'Connell and Charlie Jones don't come to play, which there's a high likelihood, Luke, Charlie Jones is going to have his 100th reception of the season.
That's amazing.
In this game. So I think that's worked out pretty well for him for a business decision to go play for Jeff Brom.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the old Oaken Bucket. So to be more precise, again, Purdue has to win this game if they have any shot, but they need Iowa to lose. They'll know this already. All will be decided before this game is played, but still, boy, it would be interesting if Iowa loses and this game becomes way more interesting. Indiana can play spoiler. Okay. And then finally, the 3 p.m. game on FS1, Penn State plays host to Michigan State.
And Michigan State has to be kicking themselves for not winning that game home against Indiana to get bowl eligible.
Yeah, because here they're going up against Penn State, who's 9-2, 6-2 on the season. I think you said on our last breakdown, you know, in their wins, they're
murdering everybody not named Ohio State and Michigan this season. I think the stat is Penn State and non-Michigan and Ohio State games has won by on average 28-30 points per game. Like, they are going to be a really good representative for the Big Ten in either the Rose or the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, and the one game that they didn't win really big was, like, weather, like, inclement, just absolutely brutal, played a horrible effect on the game.
It was
they still
the
won.
Opening game of the season against Purdue where they just won by 4, and then they played Northwestern in a monsoon. But it's like every other game, including the Minnesota one, it's been clear who the better team has been.
Yeah. I expect Penn State will roll. This means Michigan State will not make a bowl game. They will end up 5-7. I mean, crazier things have happened, but I do expect that Michigan State will not find a way. So, okay. Well, once again, we want to thank everybody for listening. We appreciate you supporting us in terms of listening. We also appreciate those of you that have supported our sponsors. They make Gopher Gridiron Radio possible. It's been a really fun season to preview, Ryan. I've had a lot of fun doing this with you, strategizing on how and when we're going to work this around my life. So I appreciate you once again catering to that. And again, you, the listener, thank you for listening, and go Gophers.